Well, good evening, everybody. I know that we have Marita here. You're with Stargate Roundtable this evening, and I'm just wondering, Marita, if we could have a sound check since we don't hear you.
I was muted. Sorry about that.
Okay, my dear.
Go ahead, Marita. Thank you, Kathy, for stepping in. She is my backup in many ways. We appreciate you being here. We open this evening with our dear Angel Sue setting the tone and getting the energy started. So I pass the talking stick to you, Angel Sue.
Thank you very much. And in the background, you might hear Tomasino, our cat. He's in a talkative mood, and he wants to be right here. So as that goes, just allow all the connection, the at-one-ment, to be your claim as the beloved child of the universe that you are. So settle back and call in your higher self, your twin flame, your guides, your masters, your teachers, your angels, and your councils of light, and all those from the lighted realms that celebrate your path for you being you in this moment in time. And we're going to just intend that we go right into the heart space, where every breath brings in more unconditional divine love, to calibrate, to bless, to harmonize, to fill you with grace. And every out breath celebrates gratitude so that it will surround the entire planet and permeate every molecule within, around, and upon Mother Earth. And so I ask you now, think about your concerns. Think about those that you claim in your life. Those that you're aware of. And we're doing it with divine neutrality, unconditional neutrality. We know that each path gives worth to the at-one-ment. So with Nasara, Nasara, the Reformation Act, our beloved Faction 3 White Knights, our galactic forces of light, all of us holding this energy for a change, to bring forth heaven on earth, where all are healed, all are celebrated, respected, and all are free and sovereign as the divine child that they each are, within all kingdoms, all categories of life. So we're calling in all the beings known and unknown, seen and unseen, throughout all time and space, past, present, future, all those in parallels and all potentials, all creation. And we welcome all of you beings for our concerns and light years beyond. We welcome you in the light of the most radiant one, the light of God that never, never fails. And we're invoking the office of the Christ and only the office of the Christ, along with the loving energies of Saint Germain and the Violet Flame. And so for each one, we're calling for the perfect solution, above and beyond our understanding. For all those that have left this veil and are on other dimensions, all this celebration, we cherish each one, and we say we are all one. When one is harmed, all are harmed. As one is helped, then all are helped. And therefore, in the name of who we are, we ask that only the highest good of all concern happen here under the law of one, and we give thanks that it is done in the most miraculous, beautiful, amazing ways. And so it is, and we close now by saying all men, all women, all children, all beings, all creation, we are all one. And it's time to come on and get happy. I passed the talking stick.
Oh, thank you, Angel Sue. Are you experiencing, we see some in our weather that's, is that the hurricane that they keep talking about, is that affecting you at all where you are?
Yeah, we're having rainstorms right now, so I thought I'd get on and off quickly.
Well, I just wondered if that was happening in your area. So
we're just on way outer bands, if at all. It's just some nice storm weather.
Okay. Well, we appreciate you being here, and we are grateful that you could do that. So this evening, our Carolyn, Little Rainbird, is at a spiritual retreat for this week, so she will have a lot to share with us when she comes back next week. I want to take a little bit of time. We've had Omina on several times. She comes on the third Thursday of every month, and I want you to know that next Thursday she will actually be coming to Indiana here to visit with me, and we'll be doing some interesting sessions here. I found out some things about her that I had not heard before. She was born and raised in Ireland and spent time in an orphanage, and at the age of 16 worked as in a mansion as an upstairs maid and came to the U.S. at age 18. And she said as a child, people would say, "You have a vivid imagination," because she could clearly see the events and things going on in their lives, and annoyed everyone because I would not stop telling them things about themselves that only they could know. And so she calls her gift the gift of knowing, so she's able to tell people why they think, feel, and act the way that they do. And just give her your first name or your person you're interested in, the first name and the relationship, and that's all it takes for her to be off and running. So when she comes next week, we will have the opportunity here for people in Indiana. I am just north of Indianapolis. If you wish to have a private session with her, we're going to be doing that all day on Saturday. And then on Friday night, we're doing a group where you can come in, and for $35, you can ask, it's a limited number, maybe 7 or 8 people, and you'll be able to ask individual questions in this group. So if you would like to do that, why, you can give me a call at 317-773-0061. But I thought her life was interesting, the fact that she, you know, spent time in an orphanage, and also the fact that she annoyed people telling them as a child things about themselves that they, that only they might know, or they thought that only they would know. And here is this kid that's seems to have more knowledge than they do. So I just wanted you to know that if you've enjoyed her on the show and you wanted to have an opportunity to meet her and spend time with her here, it'll be out at our Stargate Recreation Center out here on the farm in the middle of Indiana. So just to let you know that. This evening, and someone asked me again today about Annie Rose, so I will make the announcement again tonight that 3 weeks ago now, she made her transition. I did talk to her son last week, and he told me that she'd had a heart attack again. And that's, of course, what had put her in the hospital and back at the end of last year. And she had to be in rehab there for from January until May. And so was home and able to take care of herself pretty much, but just had another heart attack. And so since I'd had some more people ask about her, I thought I'd give you an update on that as well. So this evening, we're going to have Tara and Rama tell us a little bit in this first hour, something about what, who they've talked to and what they've been doing. And Tara and Rama, if you want to quit maybe 10 minutes before the hour, then we'll make sure that we get that, everything in so you'll have more time at the end, for the last hour, if you want to do that. And then we'll still take time for our break. So Tara and Rama, tell us who you've been talking to and what's going on in the world.
Thank you, Marita, and greetings, everyone.
Greetings.
Well, let's just hang in there at this time. It's pretty serious stuff that's up on the table across the board.
Yeah.
I'll just say it that way. This young Syrian boy was pictured all over, dead on a Greek island shoreline, and tonight on Al Jazeera, his family, relatives of his family, live in Vancouver, British Columbia, and they were just bereft because this little boy's brother and his mother and eight other migrants on that boat that was coming over died in the same way. They drowned. And the father lived. And it just hit me very strongly because it brought right home. I mean, this is family from Vancouver. And the cousin, or I don't know who, the sister or something, I'm not sure, but this couple that were the, anyway, she said she had spoken with this little boy's mother just a week before, and the mother was saying that she was very afraid of the water, and she was concerned, and she said she had told her that, you know, as you really don't get to go, just stay home, just stay home. Yet what they were saying is that it's so dangerous at home that, you know, the choice is pretty negligible, you know. Anyway, so the father is going to take the mom and the two boys back to their hometown and lay them to rest from where their hometown is, despite the situation there. And there's just so much to be said for all of these things. And there was a little 13-year-old young lad. And this happened yesterday. And he was captured DW News, I believe, which is out of Berlin. He was Syrian as well, 13 years old. And, no, it was on Al Jazeera. I'm sorry. Okay, so anyway, the reporter just said that, well, his name is Kenan Masalme, and he had escaped Dara in Syria with his sister. And 4 days later, the same reporter had spotted Kenan in the crowd in Budapest, Hungary. And he asked the young boy about, you know, what he thinks about everything that's going on. And as you're aware, I hope, Hungary has Budapest, and the prime minister of Hungary is blaming this whole situation on Germany. And he said, you know, we just don't want this. We're going to close our borders. And in order to get to Germany These people don't even want to come to Europe. They're just saying what this is what the little boy said. We have to go through Hungary. You have to go through Macedonia. You have to go through Greece, Macedonia, and Hungary to get to Germany in the north. And there really isn't a choice regarding that situation. Okay, so anyway, Kenan says, the police don't like the Syrians in Serbia. The police don't like the Syrians in Hungary. The police don't like the Serbians in Macedonia. The police don't like the Syrians in Greece. My message, please help the Syrians. The Syrians need help. No, you just stop the war. We don't want to go to Europe. Just stop the war in Syria. Just this.
Yep.
A young voice carrying a simple message. And that's what needs to be looked at more than anything. And I know that we have a job, all of us, between now and we have been told that, you know, Dr. Keshe said back in May that as there is no better circumstances by 3 months from June 15th, which is this month on September, June 21st, excuse me, which is this month, September 21st, then even as I need to do this single-handedly, I will. And I will erase the memory of this ether called war from men of arms, and they will be on their battlefields no matter where they might be, and they won't know what they're doing there or why they have a gun in their hand and who they're fighting, and so they will not continue.
That's right.
They will walk off the fields. And and he also said that he will stop ships at the sea, and he will stop planes on the runways before they get up in the air. And he said, well, no one will be harmed. We will just be doing this because it's a mandate from the galactic realm, in the sense that we are endangering this whole Milky Way galaxy, literally. As you might be aware of, the characters that have perpetrated this as our black ops, in collusion with Netanyahu and his black ops, in collusion with the Saudi Prince Bandar bunch and their black ops. That's the criteria that's been going on and causing these things. And they're basically following a Nazi criteria, which is to be remembered that World War II never ended. They just did the transatlantic agreement, which did not end. You need a treaty to end a war. There is no treaty. They have extended this war in the form of setting up a system that does not work.
The Babylonian money magic machine.
That's cute, Rama. So the point is that waking up to this fact, like today there was on Al Jazeera, there was a comment being made from overseas that, and all kinds of places all over the world, that the polity of America have no idea what they're voting for or what they're campaigning for. And, I mean, there is a itinerary on this list with Mr. Hare and Mr. Trump, and you can giggle a little bit, and it's not funny because his parents are Nazis and he's a Nazi, and he's good buddies with the Koch brothers, whose mother was a Nazi,
and also the Gambino crime family, the Genoa crime family, which goes into the mafia families in Italy. And let's just say, at the same breath, same moment, all of this, you know, Wave X is changing everything right now. And these are very desperate times for desperate men who know their time is up. and they are doing things that are so heinous, I have no words. Yet, to even have a man as Mr. Hare running for commander-in-chief is so ludicrous at this time. Where is our morals and our reality? This is why Bernie Sanders is the only one.
Well, yes. And yet, in order to take as positive as a viewpoint as possible, the extremism is so extreme that you might say the rest of the world is waking America up, because I listen to from China and Japan and Germany, excuse me, and France every day. I listen from their points of view, and it's not so skewed. And then there's Russia, RT today, RT. And they're still insisting to this moment that Russia has never been involved in East Ukraine. And Steve Cohen was on Tom Hartman the other day, and he said that too. He said, with something here where they're violating the Minsk agreement, mm-hmm. Petroshenko, and Petroshenko passed a law, or, you know, Ukraine's Kiev government, they passed a law which is giving autonomy more to East, you know, in Donetsk and Luhansk in particular, that they might be able to create their own police force in a sovereign way rather than being appointed by Kiev's government, which makes a whole lot of sense since they have nothing in common. And this is an interesting piece because East Ukraine, they are totally pro-Russia in the sense that they, you know, many of their family have been living in Russia, and, you know, their relatives live in eastern Ukraine. And so that what's been going on is a lot of the younger people that are still living in Russia, they're coming across the border to help and help with their families because their families are getting killed.
Yes.
So this is not a government aspect. This is human beings saying, what are you doing? And what is going on behind that? And Steve Cohen said it. He said, this is the most dangerous, volatile place on earth, bar none, because NATO is wanting to take over and want a nuclear war with Russia.
And Astar has said, no dice.
That's true. And so, again, Bernie Sanders, we're going to play Bernie Sanders at the University of Washington on 888 Lionsgate. He gave his talk, and there were 12,000 standing room only inside the pavilion. And then there were 3,000 more people outside, so 15,000 people were there. And I just think that what he said in every area was so...
It was on point.
On point, and so, you know, divine neutrality and really bringing in a galactic perspective without saying that as such right now, and helping that vibration to be raised. I thought that would be something good to do. So we're going to play that at the end of this last hour on this show. So,
Tara and Rama.
Yes.
I get emails and text messages from people while we're on the call here. And I have a text message from someone that says, is asking for you to explain more about, how Dr. Keshe has the ability. I know you were saying, you know, with divine intervention and all of this, but how, is he able to make the statement that he can fix all of this? That's the basic bottom line.
Okay. He has got what's called a spaceship program. It's basically anchored in Milan, Italy. And the Italian people have been very open to him doing that. In there's also things going on in Tehran. He's from Iran. Excuse me. I just want to say that he is, you know, you might say he's another Tesla incarnate, if you really want to say it, and beyond. And he has the ability with the spaceship technology to intervene. And that technology is not, it's nonlinear. It can only vibrate to peace, so that anything that is not of peace, and the original creation of our DNA, we all co-created this human body together, and that's a really hard thing to conceptualize at the same time you're asking another thing for a hard thing for me to say about now. But the original template was created in the Lyran constellation on the star system called Vega. And it was created by all of us in the fifth dimension as co-creator gods and goddesses. So the original template and blueprint for humanity is based in love. And anything else is deleted from the memory. So the ether of war at the non-linear time-space continuum, those vibrations which are not of love. And it's just like there's only two things. I keep saying this. There's only two things. And Meher Baba said both of those things. Don't worry, be happy. That's really the template of the human consciousness. War was never there. That was genetically changed in our DNA by the Anunnaki. In other words, they joined Lucifer at the beginning and they decided to play Darth Vader games, and they changed the DNA over a long period of time. And that went against the law of one. And that means do no harm. They did harm because they had an intention to manipulate the DNA for their own selfish greed and power ideas. That's where that statement, the power of love, got twisted to the love of power. So that's not our original template. So this is being reversed. And they have the ability with the spaceship technology to actually do that without harming anyone. As a matter of fact, we're self-inducing harm within our own self as we do anything other than love. In other words, all negative emotions are not real. They are in the mind. You know, even this one statement that, you know, what the Buddha said, what Siddhartha said, he said, pain is inevitable, suffering is optional. That's a choice. It's not violating free will choice to rectify something imposed by a foreign occupier. And the Anunnaki are reptilians. And they had no invitation to come for a human experiment, really, a human experiment on Earth. They invaded and occupied the space. And they is also us. And that's a very complex thing because mother's children are, they're reptilian people, there are bird people. There are
lion
people, which we have a name for them. They're called Paschats, P-A-S-C-H-A-T-S. Those are beings, and they're all based in love. The physical form that we're in right now wasn't physical. It was etheric physical when we co-created it. It included the law of one. We asked for one thing, though. We asked for a veil. And that veil is often called the veil of forgetfulness, where Yes. Well, I'll bring it back to Keshi in the sense that the veil of forgetfulness was that we didn't want to remember ourselves in the original creation story in its fullest. We wanted to have this limitation of creating ourselves in a lesser dimension, not anything less in terms of who we are, yet to present ourselves with challenges, with tests, with decision-making processes, because we wanted to exercise free will choice and also have the options to choose love. Of course, love is all there is, yet along the way, love wasn't always chosen. So you might say we're going through a debt jubilee, in a sense. That's what Dr. Keshi is saying, that we can actually start over again, just like we read those 33 points. I can't remember if I did that last week or not, but there's this article with 33 points, and they're talking about the Shemitah, which is a Jewish holiday. And the Shemitah, every 7 years, this is what it's about. You leave your land fallow, except for about a quarter of the land, so that birds and animals, deer, whatever, have something to eat. Yet for producing for your land in general, for humankind, you leave it fallow, you leave it rest. It's good for the land to have that whole year of rest. And you do that every 7 years for seven times. So seven times seven. This is a Saint Germain principle. Let's get it there. And it means that you get to the 49th year. That's the last year of the Shemitah. And then you end up on the 50th year. Every 50 years in past times, before we had this gangster system, we did this. It was a practice. So it was called a debt jubilee.
Right.
And that's on the principles of the laws of nature, the you know, you might say the law of seven. That's got to do with balance and giving the land a chance to bring itself into a rest period. Makes everybody not so healthy if we don't get a rest period. And the United States is the worst ever about that in terms of work time and all those stories. So I just know that he has this alignment with that divine law of the end of the, you know, like Democracy Now, the War and Peace Report gets changed to the Democracy Now, Peace Report. And in other words, forgiveness is a part of this story. And so that, you know, you can make a decision to, you know, first of all, be forgiven, to be forgiven, to be able to make the decision to receive love and let go of fear. Because war and fear are in the same category. Now, the perpetrators is a different story. And since they are not part of this experiment and they invaded and occupied it and changed the rules, they also must be held accountable. Now, I don't know how that all looks in the outcome of the flow of it. They are saying, Lady Master Nana said, and the King of Swords said, and Tom the Ringtail Cat, and Larry Curly, and Mo, and all the folks that Rama's been talking to, and even he talked to Lady Di and Dodi this week. When was that? The 31st of August. What day was that? That was
that
Sunday,
wasn't
it?
Been Monday. It was Monday. Monday was Monday? The 31st. Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Sunday.
Not only that, but the 31st of August. Is that the day she died?
That's the day that the clone of Lady Di was killed.
Right.
Yes, so there you go. Thank you, Lady Master. And if you noticed, you know, you didn't hear a thing about this. Well, it just went not a word in the news. Isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm.
And then the King of Swords told Rama, too, that they're going to try to do a fake alien invasion. They might even try it in synchronicity with all these faction tours that are saying something's going to happen on the 23rd of September or something like that. But they're going to try. And they said they might even put up some film footage, you know, that looks real of Lady Di up in the sky. And they're going to use Lady Di's overlay to try to get the people to trust their leaders and, you know, just trust their leaders and do what they're told. And I'm just, this is really, it's just like the psychology that Trump is using. He's a racist, he's a Nazi, and he's going to build a wall.
And he's not afraid to basically, just outright rudeness.
See, all of these things that we're talking about are programs.
Yes.
They're not natural. They're completely unnatural to this natural world.
They're designed
so
to
Dr.
trigger
Keshi,
emotions.
Well, Dr. Keshi can apply a vibration where only that which is love and natural lives. Everything else, continues on. Everything else is deleted, and therefore you don't have your program anymore, and you're going, what am I doing?
You can't fake love.
This week we've also had, there's been quite a bit of things on the internet about the fact that Dr. Wayne Dyer made his transition. And then today I did get a link where the movie The Shift, and we're talking about, when it just came back to mind because we are talking about a big shift here, and there's, that movie is available right now that anyone can watch it for free if they wish. So it's just www.drwayneder.com and then /the-shift-movie-watch-now. So it's drwayneder.com/the-shift-movie-watch-now. So I had remembered about that, and then somebody reminded me here while the show was going on. We're talking about The Shift, and so that reminded them to say, this is a movie that you can watch for free just for a while here as a memorial kind of to Dr. Dyer.
Okay.
So,
Marita, can you just, I think I got it right, D-R, do they say doctor all the way out or just D-R?
No, it's www.drwayneder.com and then /the-shift-movie-watch-now.
Dash now.
Uh-huh.
Did you say now? N-O-W.
Yes.
And then a forward slash. Very good. Okay. Thank you. That's excellent. Did you see the movie, Marita?
I have quite some time ago. Isn't that the one that DeRoshi is in? I think so. Ellen
Who's
DeGeneres'
DeRoshi?
Partner.
Who? Oh, Ellen DeRoshi is her name?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
I believe she's the lead woman in it. It's been a long time ago since I saw it, but at least that's, I'll forward the email to you and then you'll have it, but that is something that's available for people. And then as another gift, you can read any of the gifts from any of his books. For $1.99, this is a gift from Hay House. That's all also part of this. So you can, there's quite a few things in this. In this email. So, like for the books, it's just HTTP amzn.co/... And it's like abbreviation for Amazon, amzn.to/11NOKHS. I'm not sure what that all stands for, but those are any of his books that instead of the regular price, you can go there and read them for $1.99. So just an FYI.
Thanks. Yeah, and we'll put that up on the internet. That's very good. The only thing I saw in terms of what might have been the problem is that he had contracted leukemia in 2009, and I thought that he went to see Dr. John of God. I think he did. And then he was going to work with his spiritual application. Oh, and I don't. Actually, they didn't say anything else.
He was not actually there. Huh. He had a good friend that was. It was done across the country. He was not there when that happened with John of God. He wasn't present. It was done as a remote thing. On his behalf, her standing in.
Oh, okay.
That's how that worked. Just to get that clear. Go ahead.
Oh, that's cool. So, do you know anything more about what caused him to leave? I mean, he didn't look sick at all.
Well, Marina and I were just saying last night that we felt that we would ask Omina next week, right?
No.
Oh. Yes. The last PBS program that he did, he was weaker than normal. He sat down, and you could tell that his vitality was not what it usually is. I could tell a big difference when he did the. He always on the when they're asking for donations, the promotions, and they do all these programs. And his last program was, you could tell that the general vitality was not what it usually is. So it was not totally unexpected, I think.
Well, I guess what we want to do is learn whether the John of God healing that he actually experienced had a relapse and it was leukemia, because they did not list a cause of death. And that's the question. Was it leukemia or was it just something else?
Yeah.
Well, are you questioning whether the healing worked? The thing is, it may have been, it was a healing for as long as his soul needed that. But then, you know, if it was his sole choice to leave, it allowed him to do his work for a while, but maybe that was the sole choice too.
Yeah.
Well, it's a good idea. Remember, as I say, Omina will be here at my house next Thursday when we do the show. I'm picking her up at the airport. Hopefully, we will have no problems getting back here from the airport on time. So, and we have plenty of time unless there was a huge delay. And if there is, Kathy, we'll have you stand in until we get here.
Well, I appreciated sharing a little more about that. That hurt my heart too. What a beautiful soul.
And you know what? He was also, speaking about a foster child, he grew up a foster child.
Oh, my.
Mm-hmm.
Just like Omina.
Yeah, and I don't know how long, but he was an alcoholic for a pretty long time. That could have taken its toll, too, because alcohol is really, I mean, diabetes could have been on there, and it really compromises your blood, too. I mean, all those possibilities, I don't know. I just don't know. But, the strength of his spirit, and you know, I guess the biggest thing is that we do determine what we're going to do each lifetime, literally before we come in. And then we've got to figure out how to remember that. And although this dispensation right now, that we're in right now, we can literally change it. And that's not normal times. That's not usual. This lifetime is a lifetime where we can change it. And of course, it's up to us as a collective mind and heart, you know, the one beingness of the whole earth. And the issues are just up on the table, aren't they, everybody? I mean, what's going on with the the migrant situation over there in Europe is just amazing. There was a couple, they had a baby between them, and they laid on the train tracks in Budapest, and they wouldn't get up. And they were afraid because they were going to bring a train, and there were rumors that they were going to take them to a camp in Hungary, and they wanted to go to Germany. And then the prime minister blames Germany for all the headaches they're having considering, and they have the prejudice. People do not like the Syrian people in all these countries.
And Sam Cedar,
what's going on with that?
Sam Cedar today on his show brought up, look at this picture, boxcars, trains, Europe, migrants, immigrants. Does the deja vu, first they came for you know who, and where are your papers, Schreinhund?
Oh, absolutely. You can see it there.
You mentioned that you talked to Lady Di, and then you didn't tell us what the conversation was about.
Oh.
Okay, Rama.
They are still up there in the Weesock Valley, and they have a group of 300 people there, and they're working with these
They have these tents that are they're domes, and they have flaps. They're like the Bucky Fuller technology. They're all triangular flaps.
Right.
And in the flaps and the material, it's solar material. So it collects solar energy inside each of those flaps. And then they have a little black box. And that little black box is a transmitter for the solar energy that's all in those flaps, and it's 24/7. And then in that box, they can plug in, just like we usually do, into a box, and all their computers and their refrigerators and whatever else they got in there, their TV, whatever they got, it all works.
They have like this small global village they're creating with 300 refugees, immigrants,
it's growing. In other words, they started and they had just a few of them, and then they grew and they grew.
These are people,
then there were 100, and then there were 200, now there's 300.
These are people that escaped from Nepal and India.
And Tibet.
And Bangladesh.
And Bangladesh, yeah. They're all refugees.
Yes.
And they all got guided to go out there, and so they did this, and they also have 8 very large yurts.
Yes.
And so they've got like a community and a movement going on, and they don't know what they're going to do about winter, but they're there. In other words, they got up there on Buddha's birthday. What was that, the 3rd of May? Or no, it was the middle of May.
Something
they've been
like,
up there ever since.
Yes.
Unbelievable. That's pretty awesome, everybody. And they get to go travel all around. I know that there's material that you don't need. I don't know how this material works, but you don't need any heaters or anything.
No.
It keeps you warm in the winter with bodies in there.
And cool.
Just need
in
two
the
bodies.
Summer.
Just two bodies in there. And you never need to have any kind of outside heater thing.
No.
It's like you can live up in the Antarctic or in the Arctic or circle or something. So, I mean, there's so much on the very, very edge of this. It's just like, that question about how does this work? How does he do that? Well, again, you got to ask yourself, well, how does this – he's got this freestanding technology. It's 3 feet tall, and it's 8 inches in diameter, and it doesn't have any plugs or outlets. And you just stick it in your house, and then you don't have to pay any heat bills or gas bills or light bills. Another – you don't need any it provides free energy.
You just have to figure out how to get it from over there – to over here.
Well, they said that's a whole nother story, but anybody can order them around the world. In Europe, they have a guarantee of within 30 days. Anywhere else in the world, they guarantee within 90 days. Now, it's none of it's getting in this country because we've got some bullies.
Homeland Gestapo.
Right. Except that Rama ran into the head of this gallery.
Yes.
His name is Mr. Fenn. The gallery's name is the Fenn Gallery. And he told Rama, he said, I'm a white knight. I'm connected fully with Faction 3. But I can't talk, but I can tell you, and then you can talk.
Right.
And he managed to you know, give, it was about $300. That wasn't very much. They gave it to Homeland Security, yet they had he had a sign.
He had to bribe them.
No.
They
bribed him, but they said, we'll take the $300, but then you have to sign this thing, this non-disclosure thing that says under penalty of death, if you talk about this to anybody else, that's what's going to happen to you.
Right.
And so he's got the two devices, the one for the house and then the other one's for the car. And it's a device that you just plug into where the lighter goes in the car. And he made a statement. I mean, Dr. Keshi said this too. It's these new electric cars, like the Tesla car and stuff, they're extremely dangerous to drive in. Reason is it's because it's an ultra concentration of a lower frequency electricity.
It's like driving
around
very
with harmful
a giant
to your
EMF
aura.
Wave.
Yes.
Constantly
yes.
Yes. Yeah,
and then they want to charge $120,000 for you to do that to yourself. So none of this is cool. So you just put this in the, you know, put this in the plug, in the lighter plug in your electric car, and you never have to plug your electric car in ever again, and it runs on free energy for as long as the parts of the car will last.
Right.
That's
well. Now, does that also convert the negative effects?
Oh yes, it cancels it because you're not plugging it in at all. It's not
okay.
You know, you have to turn on the, it's all completely disconnected.
I think you push a button to start those cars.
Oh, yeah, you push a button. Okay, thank you. and then the regular, you know, gas car is 1/10 of the gas. You can drive it for as long or longer on 1/10 of the gas, which is pretty good at the moment. So, I mean, that's just two devices of 50,000. So the lay of the land is so radically changed. And we've been listening to Nassim, you know, we just got the first 15 minutes where he said the entire field of physics is completely faulty. It's completely 100% faulty. And so now we're going to erase that from your memory, just like the Nikola Tesla, Dr. Keshi guy says, we're going to erase all that stuff about war because that's faulty too.
Right.
And we're going to start over, and we're going to teach you the laws of the universe the way they really work. And that's what Dr. Keshi's piece that we're going to keep starting to play a little bit each week. And we might not do it this week because we're going to play Bernie Sanders that – it's just so powerful. We'll do that. And we'll keep going next week. But, okay, we got to go now, don't we? Sister Marita, do we got to go?
Well, we can shift and then we can come back to this the last hour if you like, or after we finish with Kathy and I. So if that works for you.
Well, I mean, the news... and Nada and, I mean, Lady Di and Dodi said that, you know, it's in the basket. It's always been in the basket. And China is going to go down all the way. And the United States is going to go down. And all the rest of the world's going to go down. And it's already resembled that in China right now. I mean, Putin went to China and they have some big worries because they've got a $400 billion deal with China. And right now, the way it looks like the faltering of the economy is going and the markets in China, you might say the eyebrows are on top of his head, Mr. Putin, like what's going to happen of our deal here, you know? And so,
on the PBS NewsHour tonight, they showed the huge parade that China had and showing all of their military strength, and they showed Putin being there, and that just happened today. So it was a,
yep.
A 70th year celebration of
them winning over Japan, as they said, except that we are the ones that did what we did at the end of World War II, and let's not talk about that, huh? 30% they lost 30% of their market back a couple of weeks ago when they did 3 days in a row devaluing. They lost $3 trillion in 3 days of their money and their market. That is not going to come back. And Russia is a good 30, 40% in the hole on their markets too because of what these black ops over here. And it's going to be really a challenge for people to get this. Anything that goes on, there is no intrinsic power in the seat of power. In other words, the 13 families run this country the way they run it. And so when Barack is going ahead and giving a pass for the gas ship to go up there and test drill in the Arctic, that's the 13 families. And then when he gives the speech, that speech was off the charts. He's making it so clear. We are not changing fast enough. 30% of the markets now are free energy in the United States, and it is not fast enough because it's changing faster than we can do anything about it. And in other words, he's saying, he basically said, if you really listen carefully, that you are guilty of anything that happens to anybody as you do not change this and match how fast we need to go with this, with what you want with money and power and greed in the oil business. So, I mean, there's some things that have been said, and the power of love exists at real, and let's help wake up our neighbors, Masara, now. Are we ready for the neighbor now? Kathy and Marita, go ahead. We pass the talking stick back to you.
Okay. Well, we'll shift into the next segment here. And Kathy, do you want to begin or do you want me to?
1 second, yes. Hang on. Got rid of that. Just as we're having that conversation, I get a call. You know what, Marita? I think maybe it's a good idea to have everyone get their paper and pencil out and write down the number if you're going to have anybody call in with questions on this transformational clearing, which is the subject matter we're about to enter. Do you want to do that so that we have that all squared away?
All right. If you wish to call in and ask questions, 888-429-5471. That's toll-free United States and Canada. 888-429-5471. A second number would be 530-413-9537. Okay.
Okay, thanks for doing that. I just thought, you know, it would be a good idea to get that out of the way for some of you who may want to call in. We're talking about a modality that Marita has been, I'll let her give you all the details about it, but transformational clearing is the name that it goes by. And many of you over the years have had the opportunity, as have I, to have this moment with Marita to go through the process of healing something that perhaps you've forgotten or weren't completely clear about. And I know that many of us have asked for years and years and years and have grown through the process of looking at ourselves more deeply and what we can do about the process of healing when we do this. I had one session with Marita it's probably been 4 years now, and it changed me. It changed me because there was a piece or a layer that I hadn't seen clearly. And that being the prayer helped me to see more clearly. Because when we do see more clearly, we are actually able to affect a true change. And sometimes it takes another to trigger us to actually get there. And hence the many sessions we've all had in different ways to get where we are today and evolve as we have all done. And one day when I was having my first session of transformational clearing, Marita had asked me to go back to a time when I was a certain age. And it was the age that triggered me. And I was able to see my father, who was a drunken person, oftentimes beat his kids. I was one of five, and we were 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. He was freaking out at me because there was a large landing at the top of an old farmhouse, a curved staircase, where I had the vacuum cleaner out, and I was vacuuming. And I all of a sudden saw a picture of myself in this moment vacuuming. And my father comes over, and he grabs it. He was like a terrorist. He walked into the room, and every one of us would flee. We wouldn't stick around to figure out who was next. So he grabbed it out of my hands, and he berated me and yelled and screamed and let me know that I wasn't doing it right, that it was a certain way that you do this, and he was showing me, and he was being nasty, and I was just so purely frightened of him all the time. Well, I hadn't remembered that moment, but I was triggered to see it just through sitting down with Marita here to do this, and it was by telephone, which is a very, it's just as powerful, I am sure, as sitting there. And I realized that there are parts and pieces of my inner self that can get anxious at times if things aren't perfect, if I haven't done something 100%, or if I don't have enough time to get something done, I become a little nervous. My nervous system at times, I feel, runs a little high. It revs high like an engine that runs high. And it was an aha moment. I realized on a deep inner level that it was that moment in time that had damaged me so much that I had become that way as an adult, making sure I always do everything right, that I'm always on time and nobody can, you know, if we look sideways, you get slapped around. So as a little girl, like a little scared bird kind of thing, but how would I have ever been able to recognize that the core element, the moment in time when I was changed because of being frightened, and you know where I'm going with this. It changed me because now I can see clearly as an innocent that it wasn't my fault, that I was holding on to a way of being that I could easily clear now that I realized and understood its original origin. That was the key. You can do that too. If you've done it in other ways, well, we all have, haven't we? This is just one of those ways. Literally, it transformed my ability to see myself more clearly and to affect the changes to, what do we call it, Tara? Keep calm and carry on. You know, calm being the highest level of self-mastery and not being moved left or right easily. And that changed me. And it was because Marita's time, she used to give us on our birthday or one person a month, a transformational clearing. Many of you have had them. So that's my little introduction on how powerful it was. And I was so appreciative of it. I've never forgotten it. And it was a big piece that was bothering me that really isn't a problem anymore. And so with that, Marita, let's hear how that all came about for you and Robert, and you gave it the name Transformational Clearing.
Well, the Transformational Clearing process and the name and everything, you know, we have studied many, many things. We've had all sorts of classes and workshops here, and yet this is something that was literally downloaded and gifted to me. I did not, you know, it wasn't like I went to study somewhere to learn it. It was given, and transformational clearing was also the name that was given. And the premise of all of this is that we come in to this life with all these little packets of energy around us that are really part of us. And our job, literally, is to get it all together. Because as we have the learning and keep a knowing of each one of these little packets, it's a lesson or an experience. And as we have the learning and keep the knowing of that, that energy integrates and aligns and becomes part of us. And literally, we're getting it all together. So that's a large picture of what the process is. So when we begin, and this is what I'm going to offer tonight to those who want to call in, as we begin this process, I'll walk all the way through it, and then you'll understand what we're doing here is kind of what Kathy was saying was the trigger for her. I might, as you call in, I might say, okay, I'm going to give you some dates, years in your life, and let's see if you come up with there's anything that that triggers for you. So it might be, let's say, okay, Tara, I'm just going to pick you just for fun. What happened when you were between 3 and 4 and 9 and 10 and 22, 23? And so that would give you an opportunity to think about, okay, what was going on in my life at that time? And if there's something that brings up, that may be a place where we start. And of course, when we begin this process, we bring in all the angels, guides, and masters, and all the beings of light from all time frames, levels, dimensions, universes, galaxies, and all of this. And so we have all of the help here that we need to do this. And yes, I do it for people all over the world. I think you've heard me say I did four people in Dubai not too long ago. When we think about the technology and the ability to have a healing that many miles away with somebody we've never seen, but they had heard me on this conference call, and we wonder where it goes and who listens to it. And that's just an example of what we do and how we can help people around the world. So as we begin the process then, and we've invited in all the help, we'll ask, please show us the most appropriate place to begin. And so the first thing then that I'm shown is these years, and I'll ask then, does that trigger anything for you? And whether or not it does, you may not have anything that comes up. And then if that happens, it'll usually be given to me, and we'll start them. So we'll come up with a phrase or something that really needs to be worked on. And like what Kathy was saying, there was a lot of fear and a lot of being totally on edge simply because of the domination and the fear of physical harm. So as we work with that energy, then at the proper time, we'll say, are you ready to integrate and align? And then it will tell us, yes, well, we're ready, or no, there's a little bit more that you need to get. And what happens then, see, we're really changing things at the cellular, molecular level. And many times I remind people if they can take a little extra quiet time for the next 2 or 3 days, it would be good, because as we are integrating all of this and shifting into this new way of being, that gives it an opportunity for that to happen. So as we ask for this process to be working, and then once we have discovered and ask the energy which of the chakras it wishes to come into, okay, so let's say it tells us a second. My left hand goes behind the chakra, the right hand in front of it, and then spirit's in charge. We just sit here and allow the energy to flow until it doesn't. And sometimes people feel a little heat. They may feel movement. They may feel just like something's moving. And it doesn't matter everybody is different, and that's not the important thing. It's just that we sit until it quits. And for give you an example of a lady here in Indianapolis who was manager of a whole section in a department store. And this women's section, she had been telling them for over 3 months that they need to reorder it and move things around. And when she called me for an appointment, she said, you know, she had done a session many years before. She says, I'm stuck again. I need another session. So we did this. And, the first thing that happened was the second, chakra was what we worked on. And that, of course, is your tribal stuff and your power center. And so we did that one. And knowing that, she has done this and of course, just ask. It was, we were guided to do a second one. And the second chakra that came up was the throat chakra. So in doing this work, I've learned that the second is kind of like the amplifier for the fifth. And so, you know, if you can't be heard, you turn the amplifier on, and then, so once we had the power center open, the next day she went to work. She was so excited to get home from work that night to call me to tell me what had happened. She said, I said the very same thing that I've been telling them for 3.5 months. And they said, that sounds like a really good idea. Let's do it. And they did it that day. And so it was like she was speaking, but nobody could hear her because her power and her voice was not turned on. So that's just one example. I could give you many, many, but that's something that you maybe be able to relate to if you have good ideas and people don't, you know, just don't hear you or they don't make any action after you've told them. That is an example of how things can sometimes shift and change. And it's really wonderful to have people see their lives improve. And as I say, this is just a gift that was given. It isn't something that of course, if we didn't have the spiritual background and the awareness of the energy and the chakra system and all of those things, that was our preparation to be able to be given this gift. So that's kind of how that part happened. Does that raise any questions for anybody? And if you would like to call in, I will not go through a whole session, of course, but I would, I can tell you, okay, what would you look at these particular years and see if that triggers anything for you. And then that may help you to be able to go ahead and develop something on your own. Or if you choose to do a session, we can do that. So anybody that would wish to call in and ask a question, 888-429-5471 or 530-413-9537.
Marita.
Yes.
I have a question. I was thinking about those age periods, and everybody kind of knows who we're listening when that, you know, at 3.5, I was gang raped with my father included, and it never stopped with my dad all the way from that point on. And so that was still going on between 9 and 10. And then, I had my first child at the age of 21, and then I had my second child at the age of 22, just a year later. So I had two babies, and then right after I had my second child, between 22 and 23, their father decided that he didn't want to be the father anymore. So I lost my partner. And I just was wondering, with that kind of diagnosis, I was just going to say in the regular psychiatry, they would say that the chances for that kind of a person to succeed are pretty bare minimum. And, you know, that's the kind of stuff that we are getting. So I was just going to be curious as to how would you approach that kind of stuff going on, like in those three periods of time in a person's life?
Well, what if we were doing a session, we would just ask to be shown the most appropriate place to begin. And then if you have these things that have come up, we would ask if that energy is ready to integrate and align to heal those things. And then we ask the energy, which of the chakras would it like to come in? And so once it tells us, my left hand goes behind chakra, the right hand in front of it. And like I say, spirit's in charge. I don't have anything to do with how long we sit there. And what we're really doing is changing things at the cellular molecular level. And we just sit there and hold this until the energy stops. And I have no idea how long it's going to be. And I mean, it's just, as I say, this is a process that's given. It isn't something that I'm in charge of. I'm just the vehicle that it comes through. So we would sit there and hold this until, and see, the person can usually feel something. It might be heat, might be movement, it might be tingly. It's individual. But when I sense that the energy has stopped flowing, then we know that it's done, and that particular part is, it's integrated and aligned. It is the lesson, as I say, the little packet of energy that said, this is something that you chose to come and learn in this lifetime. Then that packet can come in and integrate and be a part of you. Literally, you're getting yourself all together. So does that help you understand what happens?
Yeah, I see the approach. That's very good. In other words, you're empowering the person to actually set up a pattern for healing themselves, basically.
Plus the intuitions come, the triggers
right.
come. You recognize things, you get an aha on the inner, and you can actually, on your own time, once the initial healing is done, recognize any remnants that show up. It's just like visions come.
Uh-huh. Absolutely.
So have you awareness had
let me ask this question, Marita. The person needs to be there in person, right? You can't do this long distance, right?
No. It's long distance.
I don't know. How did I do four people in Dubai?
Oh.
I do it all on the phone. None of it's in person anymore. I mean, yes, I started out doing it in person, but I was working with some doctors in Indianapolis. They didn't want to take time to drive up here. They said, can we do this on the phone? And they were energy people that I was working with already, and I said, sure, let's try it. And so from then on, it was like that's how it has evolved. So no, I don't see very few people here in the healing room anymore. We just do it on the phone, and when someone says they call and say I'd like to do a clearing, we set a time, and then they call me at that hour, and I always tell them to make sure they've got at least an hour. Sometimes it's quicker, sometimes it's a little longer, and as again, I'm not in charge of it. We just go until it's done, and so it's usually about an hour, and that's as accurate as I could be, because as they say, it's just a matter of the individual person. Yeah. It's not something that's cut and dried.
Very collaborative. Wow. You feel what Marita's doing. You're quiet. You're sensing things. It's a real team effort between, I'm sure, the two of us, but our guides are involved, and things are provoked so that you can see intuitively or visions that come. So each person, of course, is different and will have their own experience, but profound things come of it.
So, Kathy, and did so you say you, so you if, did this? Oh, I'm sorry. I was just going to say, Kathy, did you do this work with Marita for yourself?
Yes, it was for myself, and I was sharing that one experience in particular. And the way it helps me today, years later, let's say you're late and you've got a lot of things to do. For me, that's a trigger. All of a sudden, you know, I can feel myself, my nervous system gets activated. And when that happens, it's an uncomfortable feeling because it takes
Here's
me back.
What I found on the web
wow,
for things
how did that
for?
Happen? This is so weird. I didn't ask Siri to do anything, and she starts talking. Sorry about that, everybody.
that's what that is.
That was odd. I'll get that feeling and that sense that, I know what that is. I know exactly what that feels like. That's uncomfortable. And I stop right in my tracks. And I immediately reorganize my head and I calm myself down with a few breaths. And I realize whatever has to be done, I'll just set my priorities, maybe do 2 out of the 6, and everything else I let go. And I stay calm and I stay centered. That's long after the initial connection with Marita's transformational healing. So it is something I have recognized. I see myself more clearly. And for times that come up where you feel that energy rise and that nervous system going a little haywire, I handle it immediately in the moment, only because I know from which it had come and that I can, as an adult, ignore all of that because I've already honored it and healed it. So those little remnants that show up, you just take care of it.
Don't worry, be happy, huh?
Just, you know, master, self-mastery.
Absolutely right. Amazing. Yeah.
And it's a, the interesting thing is that many times, like, you may not even be aware of the times that this happened, or your conscious mind, it was a negative thing, and you've really buried it, and you've put it away. And so the question that we ask at the beginning of Spirit, please show us the most appropriate place to begin. And so that's when I'm given the ages, and those, and we look at those, and like, let's say there's usually 3 or 4, and many times it's a similar pattern. It's most likely a similar pattern that you can relate to or connect with, that you had a similar emotion or a feeling at the time, whether it was fear or, you know, whatever it was. So once you see that, and then we discover that, that's when we ask that energy, okay, are you ready to integrate and align and become a part of me now that's balanced and is healed, rather than being out here in these little packets that are still around you? And if you haven't integrated them, then there are still lessons that keep coming up. And so you seem like you do it over and over until you get right.
And, you know, Marita, I remember, too, that there were, so, you know, might be even be appropriate to say this today, and that is that you would offer these to the audience. I'm sure many of us have taken advantage of it, and it helped you pay for Stargate Roundtable time.
Exactly. And that is something that the donations the last 2 months have been very, very low, and so it's been a little bit of a challenge for me to keep everything going here as well. So what... my normal charge for that is $95, and it as I say, it takes however long it takes. And with that, I give people the option to call back again if they need a little more clarity, and there's no charge for the return call. So sometimes people need to have one or two more reminders or just a little bit more insight to get that cleared. And what I will do tonight, and this will be for the month of September only, I'm going to offer, instead of the $95, it will just be $50. And we will use, that'll give us some money to pay for some of the radio time that we need. So I will do that, people. And what Kathy mentioned in the beginning with, I'd kind of forgot about that I did this, that I offered a session for people on their birthday. So that was, thanks for the reminder. You know, we do so many things and then go on and we forget about them.
Yeah, I mean, it was like every month there would be one person that you would give that gift to, first come, first serve kind of thing. And it was just one way to keep the bills paid. So we ask that you all, where you feel led, to assist Marita, that she does on her own. She puts it out there year after year after year. I guess I've been with this program since 2004. And right before that, I guess maybe it was a year or two old when I came on board. A lot of you have been with us a very long time and given over these years. And those of you who are new, just on the inner, ask yourself if there's anything that you can contribute that would make the way easier for this effort that Marita consistently gives us, however many years, 15, 16 years now.
Mm-hmm. And you can do it with PayPal, or you can just email me. You know, we can do it however it works best. So, okay. Any questions? Anybody want to call in and ask a question? Or is there anybody else here that's on the phone with us? 888-429-5471 or 530-413-9537.
Hey, Marita, do you
I won't embarrass you. I will just ask you what happened at these hours, and we won't reveal anything on the phone or on the call here. I'll just ask you where they are, and then that will give you a chance to start thinking about it. And like Kathy said, you realize that maybe they are connected, and they likely will be connected. That's how the process.
Marita, do you use this on your own self? Is that something you've ever done?
Kathy.
Marita, can you hear me okay?
It's not as easy to do it. Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah. You're breaking up a little. Okay. I don't know, Tara. Are you hearing her break up a little bit?
Yeah, I am. I don't know what that is. I think it's, it's like a reverb or something, and then she goes away and comes back again.
Yeah.
And
it may just.
I'm using my intuition as much as possible.
Internet connection.
Yeah, it definitely is. There's something going
on. I've just mentioned this week, you know, I really need a session myself because I've got some patterns that are coming up repeatedly, and I think, okay, I need to, it would be very good if I would do a clearing on myself. And I thought, okay, I will just invite Robert in to help me with this, and so I haven't taken the time to do this.
Well, you do it now, Marita. Take care of this.
Yeah. Well, and I thought, you know, we did get. It was interesting when Mina was giving us what rays we came in on, and she gave me mine. You know, the purple ray, and then. A little bit, she said, you know, I've never seen anybody with two rays. And then when I mentioned to her that 5 weeks after Robert made his transition, he came back and said that it's possible to integrate his energies with mine. And like, you know, the young couple that had been interned with us here and were doing body work here all the time and with us, when I asked him, I said, you know, I've just had an experience. Did you notice anything about my energies? And he just took one look at me and he said, well, there's a whole lot more male energy present. And I thought, okay, that's good enough validation. So that, and then I told Lena this story, you know, about the integration. She said, well, just a minute. Let me ask Robert here if it's okay to talk about it. She came back, she said, yeah, he said, fine. And so actually he came in on the pink ray, the love ray. And so that was what she saw. But she said, I've never seen somebody with two rays before. And I don't know, Rama and Tara, how many people do you know that have had an integration like this?
You mean with someone from the other side?
Yes.
That, yeah. Over time, I'd have to yell upstairs for Rama. He's not right here at the moment, but I can just answer for myself. It's been a number of people. I think it's because I was working with being in touch with my own family on the other side, that I had an easy flow with that. So there was a period of time for about 10 years where quite a few people were showing up and having that to share and learn from. So I can't really say a number.
Well, I think there's a lot of people that, you know, can communicate with people on the other side. And I've met a lot of those. I mean, and of course, we, you know, we've had people on TV that do this for people to talk to them. But I think it's a different thing when that entity actually integrates. So anyway, what
yes,
I'm really looking
true.
Here is just a
I,
way to
comment on that for a minute. I just want to say this for everybody, because many of you will remember when this actually happened after Robert died and Marita went away for a short period of time and this all took place for her. And what happened when she came back on the radio program that first week was I noticed something that was very different about Marita. And it was Angel Sue who stepped in and said, "You know, Marita, your voice is lower. There's a different resonance coming from your voice. It has changed in some way." And it was like, for me, bingo, that's what's different. Her voice became fuller, more a little lower, and has maintained that Robert energy. For those of you who don't know why we call Marita, Marita Robert, is because that integration took place. Angel Sue brought it up. It was a key for me to recognize that's exactly what's different here. I could tell immediately something wasn't normal or the same. And it has maintained itself. And she was the one who appropriately was able to bring that forth to the entire radio family. So many of you will remember that moment. And so that has maintained itself from that day.
Okay. Marita, if I could just I could qualify my statement a little bit when you made that integration point. I was thinking of one sister, and she lost her beloved, and it was cancer, I think. Yet they knew they were twin flames before that happened. So what happened when I did the counseling work with her is that she was having a communication, but she had an integration experience. But see, that was different in a sense that I don't know if it was different because, I mean, you and Robert, you knew you were twin flames, didn't you?
No, we were not twins. We were soulmates, but we were not twin flames.
Well, that's right.
Right, it was just a
merging. I've met my twin lifetime. And
okay.
Robert was this guy's father.
Yes.
I mean, it's been really, I mean, so many times together. But no, Robert and I were soulmates, but not twin flames.
Right. Okay. Now, okay. So let me qualify that again. So that was different. They were twin flames before, and then they had a re-merging, you might say, even though his body was on the other side. That being said, there's been some other interesting points where twin flames were not married together, but then one of them left and they were married to someone else. And after the fact, they merged together after that person left his body. So I've had that experience before. And then there's another one where um, like my teacher told me, it was like a vicarious thing that his mom and his dad, you know, they were very close and they were married and stuff, but it wasn't until after, and he had, I think I told this part, that his father had told the family, you know, 10 years or something before, he said, I'm going to be leaving on this date at this time. He already knew when it was time to for him to go. And then after that happened, his mother and his father recognized their twin flameness after that fact. And then they worked together after that fact. I mean, that's not made directly, but I'm just thinking of all these different, now that you mentioned this integration point. So there's all kinds of ways for things to be happening.
So just so everybody knows, it's not a channeled experience where a being comes through. It's a merging.
Absolutely. Absolutely. When right. Marita was having that experience, Robert just was walking right beside her on the beach, and then they just did that thing together, and it was very physical, right, Marita?
Right. I mean, he said it's possible for me to merge my energies with yours, and so after some discussion, I said, okay, what would I have access to, and what would this be like, and so then I agreed to it, and that's, I say, when I came back from this walk, that's when our friend said, "Well, more male energy present." And I've had some other experiences. One of the gals that I work with comes here to our center every week or two. It works with like the quantum or the QFEI. All the it's like computerized radionics. The second session, her. She said, I've never worked on a prostate in a female body before.
Yeah.
That came through the male energy, and as she was battling my body, you know, that, so there's a lot of, we've had a lot of validation, and just like with Omina, a couple, months ago when she said that, well, she's never seen anybody with two, come in with two rays. So, you know, it's like
wild.
You think, oh, well, is this really, am I making this up? But then when you validation from all of this and the awareness of it, you know, you're beyond it. So,
hey, Marita,
so
what
Kathy was saying, if you have any.
Give your telephone number, Marita, for everybody that wants to call you about this.
Okay. All right, 317-773-0061. And I'm in the Eastern Time Zone. So 317-773-0061. Or you can email me at Stargate Marita, MARIETTA, @gmail.com. So what we're looking at with all of this is just when people say I'm stuck or I feel like there's something that's no longer serving me, it's time I'm ready to let go of this pattern that I don't like, that's when they call and say, hey, I think it's time for a session. So that's how when we're really just removing the blocks. And one of the things that the Masters, when we were preparing some flyers for some things we were doing, I was saying, you know, like in becoming more aware of who you are, and they corrected me and they said no. And so the Transformational Clearing brochure says becoming more aware of what you've always been. So Sophia, that it's the awareness of who you really are that we're trying to discover and give you
right.
access to that you've kind of blocked because of the negative experiences that you've had in your lifetime.
Yeah.
So, any other questions from anybody?
Well, I'm just going to say that was really cool that you shared all of that again with us and made that clarity. And I also want to say this is really good work that Marita Roberts doing, and it's advanced in the sense of what she just said, becoming aware of what you always have been, in other words, and getting more access to that. That's a big deal. That's a progress report that goes beyond, you know, one thing at a time sessions like this.
So, hey, Marita, I have a quick question about that too, because as we're talking about him aligning himself with you, that does not preclude him from following his own soul journey in higher dimensions at the same time, correct?
That's right. It's not, he's still doing his own thing, and this isn't, that doesn't hold him back from his soul journey for what he needs to do. It's just a gift that the universe has given us to continue our work, even though he is on the upside. It hasn't, the ability to work together has not been, I don't know how to say it. Most people would say, well, you're done, and it's not done. And it's I've had so many wonderful experiences. I mean, I had a daughter who was a very, very, very old soul, and a son who was a very, very young soul. And 10 days after his sudden passing from a heart attack, which was like 3 years ago, he came in and said, I'll be back in my first grandson. And this, I mean, for him to say that, knowing how fundamental he was, yeah, was just, I mean, bizarre almost. Mm-hmm. And his daughter became pregnant, even though she had been told she was never able to have any more children. And the due date of that baby was his birthday. So, little validations once in a while. It just helps to help us believe, well, I'm not making this up. There really is something going on here. So,
well, your son as a young soul was turning around right quick, I would say, and getting right back to the business of growing his experiences, evolving again.
I was
an earthly person.
I was surprised because it was only 10 days after, and that was something that would have been so far from his belief system. I mean, his children were little, we had with these little glass beads that, you know, that you hold flowers with in a vase, and we had a bowl of these because we had development classes here every week for people to learn some of the spiritual practices, and we called them peace seeds. And you took one, and it was just the idea, put it in your pocket. People might call it a worry stone, but the idea to plant peace wherever you went. And so his children were here. I was taking care of them on a Saturday morning, and they wanted to take them home with them. And I thought we'd talked about the idea that this was a good thing to do, that where, you know, you get along with your brother and your sister. It's like wherever you are, you plant peace. I didn't get to see the kids for more than 2 years because I gave them New Age crystals.
Well, what does that mean?
And they were
you didn't get to see them because you gave them New Age crystals?
But,
I don't know.
Well, they were the little glass beads that we used to hold flowers in a vase. I mean, that's what they were. But from his point of view, it was New Age, and it was, no. And I was corrupting his kids by giving them New Age crystals.
Oh, and I totally didn't get that.
There's no power. There's no power in the crystal. It was the idea that this piece of glass, we call a peace seed, to help us know that as we go somewhere, we're planting peace. We're getting along with our family, our friends, our kids in class with us, whatever. So,
right.
It was misconstrued because, as a young soul, the young souls, they want, as a kid grows up, you know, you play in the playpen and then in the room and then in the yard and then the whole village and then in the world. And so the young soul likes to be in this box because they feel safe, and that's why they choose a fundamental religion, because it gives them boundaries. It tells them exactly what they can do and where they can
right.
go. Contrary to the other child that I had, that was very, very old soul that came to, our daughter came to teach us a lot of things because she was more advanced than we were in many ways. And so that was, as I say, to have two polar opposites in the same family was quite an interesting experience for us. It was all, you know, it was for our learning as well.
Wow.
So if people will like to have a session of transformational clearing, 317-773-0061, or email me at stargatemarieta, M-A-R-I-E-T-T-A, @gmail.com. And for the month of September, it's $50 instead of $95. And we'll just see if there are people that this could be helpful to.
Well,
and I'll go ahead and do the thing that Kathy said. Give one freebie to somebody that has a birthday in September. So just whoever contacts me first on that will do that.
It's been good to realign ourselves and revisit these old conversations that we've had in the past, because it was particularly enjoyable for me because I got so very much out of it, everybody. And I feel certain that if there's anything at all, even if you don't know what it would be another layer removed. So I highly recommend it. And thank you, Marieta.
Well, you're welcome. And I guess we should take a musical break here. Tara, you wanted to split 10 minutes before the hour, so we're right on time with that. We'll take a musical break, and then you can come back the last hour and play the Bernie Sanders thing that you wanted to. So, music, okay. Maestro, please.
Is there anything you needed me to do? Hello.
Yes, musical break. We want
musical,
you to play music. It's time for the break, Commander.
Break. You'll take our break right now. She, Tara's requested it early tonight, so you are. We're giving you, throwing a curve at you. Thank you. Welcome back to the third hour of Stargate Roundtable, and Tara and Rama, it's your show, so take over.
Okay, thank you, Marieta.
All right.
Thank you. I totally enjoyed that. That was wonderful. You got to do that more often. There's something about the vibration of getting to know ourselves better. Isn't that the truth?
Mm-hmm. Well,
yeah.
And it's becoming more aware of what we've always been. That's what we were told that we're doing. So that's exactly what you're saying. You're right on.
Yes, ma'am. And I just wanted to say, too, that that would be very applicable right now in terms of our politics, to actually say to yourself in your heart, is that vibration of knowing really there? instead of this thing that has to do with the biggest story of the world, you know, the difference between the power of love and the love of power.
Yeah.
And money seems to have been the coinage in between those two things. And transformational clearing would indicate that you would be, this would be a good time to be prepared for the shift, as we were saying. And our brother Wayne Dyer probably figured he's going to stay for the party from the other side. God,
right.
Oh boy, did he ever! He helped so many people because it was
right.
Like it was your best friend. It was your, it was, he was authenticity itself, and
right. The fact that he was on the public television, he gave so much to that and gave just helped the general public. That you might not always find that comes to a workshop, but to reach out and do it that way. And his presentations were always very well received. And I know from the station here, they had a lot of response to his, when his presentations. But like I say, the very last one that he did was, I could tell that the vitality was not there. And he sat down more rather than walking around and talking. And I knew that it was, I just had the feeling that he was thinking about making the transition. So,
yeah, was that the time when he had his daughter come on and speak about him? Was that the last time?
Well, she did that the time before as well, but she was there the last time too.
Yeah. I think I did see that. Well, they'll be showing his stuff over and again. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
It's on.
Okay. Okay, Marita.
Recorded,
much love.
And that way we can use it again.
Thank you
so
much.
All right. See you later.
Okay. Later, alligator. Namaste. Okay. So, Rama, any more things? Anything else that... Did you talk to anybody at all today?
No.
No. Okay. I guess this one thing, Rama gave this to me. It's called the Jedi-like psychic training in secret space programs. Right?
Yeah.
And this
is... Dr. Michael Salya put this on Exopolitics.
Are you going to put this up on the internet,
mm-hmm.
on our website? Okay, so secret space programs train recruits to use enhanced psychic abilities for a variety of covert missions, according to whistleblower Corey Good in today's episode of Cosmic Disclosure. He describes how psychic abilities are enhanced through the stimulation of the pineal gland. Good says that the development of the psychic abilities are training are very similar to what was depicted in the Jedi training programs in the Star Wars movies.
Yeah.
Individuals trained through these Jedi-like programs can develop powerful psychic abilities that can be used for both defensive and offensive purposes. Good described how stimulation of the pineal gland was identified by the secret space programs as the key to personal developing powerful psychic abilities, person developing these things. He says that after stimulation of the pineal gland, a variety of psychic... can you turn this off? You got to turn it off. It's on number two, but you got to turn it off. You got to do that turn off thing. I don't want that on there anymore. Okay, we'll run. Psychic abilities. He says that after stimulation of the pineal gland, a variety of psychic abilities, such as out-of-body travel and teleportation, were developed using what he described as a person's light body. A lot of beings use the pineal gland and their light body to project their consciousness and inner selves to other physical locations and then send that information through the connection into their physical bodies, physical bodies, and then change the vibrations of their physical bodies to match the vibration of the location that they are at, and then the body teleports to that location and rejoins the consciousness, or what some people are saying are having out-of-body experiences or projecting their minds, a lot of different terminology for what these more advanced beings are doing. Good says that part of the training involved visualization of energy spheres that could actually be made physical by the more advanced instructors who could use them as weapons. Good's description of the training closely matches what was depicted in the Jedi training found in the Star Wars movies. He describes the training as having elements of both the more positive Jedi philosophy and the darker Sith practices, where psychic abilities were used for destructive purpose. Good referred to David Wilcock's book, The Source Field Investigations, and said, "These people were the ones that believed very much in the like Star Wars Jedi, the Force. And you wrote a book, The Source Field. They harnessed what they would call like the dark side of the Source Field, or the dark side of the Force. And they were very much into like really the straight out of Star Wars, the Jedi, the Dark Lord Sith kind of magic energy that they pulled from the ether or the universe." This kind of relates to what Dr. Keshe can do, because love is all that's real, that exists. Right. So this creation of using energy for the quote-unquote dark side of the Force, he just got through saying that they pulled it from the ether or the universe. Well, what he's doing is he's pulling the program of war completely away from that ether, because the etheric reality matches the physical reality, which has nothing to say. And you know, they might say the question about free will choice might be kind of weirded out here. Yet free will choice ends when the planet is in jeopardy of its very own life. And that's called intervention time. And that's why the non-intervention in the civilizations develop unless in case of. So right, go and watch this now, Bernie Sanders, because we haven't got more time to talk, or we'll be late for an important date at the end. So everybody, Nisara now, and the shift is happening. It certainly is. All right. Here, we got to change the furniture. Okay, Rob. Okay, just tell them it's coming.
It's coming.
Brothers and sisters, what a turnout. Thank you so much for being here. It doesn't seem true, but we began this campaign about 3.5 months ago, and the momentum has been unbelievable. We have had huge turnouts in Burlington, Vermont, in Denver, in Minneapolis, in Madison, in Phoenix, in Portland, Maine, in New Orleans. But I want to tell you something tonight. We got 12,000 people here, 3,000. And a few minutes ago, I just said hello to 3,000 people outside. So thank you. You know, the media asked me, they say, well, what's going on? Why do so many people come out? Why do you have more individual campaign contributors than any other campaign? Why last week did we have 3,700 organizational meetings all across this country, 100,000 people? And the answer is pretty simple. The answer for why people are rising up is that all across this country, people are sick and tired of establishment politics, establishment economics, and they want real change. The people of America understand that corporate greed is destroying our country, that American politics is now dominated by big money interests, and that much of the mainstream media is prepared to talk about everything except that is what is most important. And the other point that I want to make in opening is to tell you that this campaign differs from any other campaign because I will be very honest with you and tell you what few tell you. And that is no president can do it alone. No one person in the White House can take on Wall Street, corporate America. We need to do it together. We need a grassroots political movement from the West to the East, which tells the big money interest, this country, our government, belong to all of us, not just a handful. Let me just say a brief word now, because you've heard a lot from the people who came before me about institutional racism and criminal justice reform. Let me be very brief and say this. As somebody who has one of the strongest lifetime civil rights records in the United States Congress, no president will fight harder to end the stain of racism in this country and reform our criminal justice system, period. Brothers and sisters, today we are living in the wealthiest country in the history of the world. But almost nobody knows that because almost all of the wealth rests in the hands of the few. The United States now has more income and wealth inequality than any major country on earth. And it is worse today than at any time since 1928. The issue of wealth and income inequality is the great moral issue of our time. It is the great political issue of our time. It is the great economic issue of our time. And together, we will address it. There is something profoundly wrong when the top one-tenth of 1% owns almost as much wealth as the bottom 90%. There is something profoundly wrong when 58% of all new income goes to the top 1%. There is something profoundly wrong when we have seen in recent years a proliferation of millionaires and billionaires while the average American works longer hours for lower wages, and we have the highest rate of childhood poverty of any major country. That is wrong. That is unacceptable. That will change. We need an economy that works for working families and the middle class, not just a handful of billionaires. This campaign is sending a message to the billionaire class. And that message is simple and straightforward. You cannot have it all. You cannot get huge tax breaks when children in America go hungry. You cannot continue to send our jobs abroad when millions of Americans are in desperate need of work right here. You cannot hide your profits in the Cayman Islands and Bermuda. You will pay your fair share of taxes. The billionaire class cannot take advantage of all of the benefits of America if they do not accept their responsibilities as Americans. But the economic crisis that we face is not just the grotesque level of income and wealth inequality. We've got to be honest and understand that for the last 40 years, the great middle class of this nation, once the envy of the entire world, that great middle class is disappearing. Despite exploding technology and increased worker productivity, median family income is almost $5,000 less today than it was in 1999. In my state of Vermont, in your state of Washington, people are working not one job, they're working two jobs, they're working three jobs, trying to cobble together some income and some health care. That is not an American economy. We can and must do much better than that. And when we talk about the economy and what's happening to working families, it is important for you to understand that real unemployment is not the 5.3% which the newspapers report. That's official unemployment. Real unemployment includes those people who have given up looking for work and the millions of people who are working part-time when they want to work full-time. When you add that together, real unemployment in America is almost 10.5%. And here is something else that almost nobody discusses, but it is a huge, huge issue. You know, one of the fun things about running for president is you can raise issues that other people choose not to talk about. And let me talk about one issue, and that is that today we have a horrendous tragedy in terms of youth unemployment in America. Last month, I asked the Economic Policy Institute to do a study for us. And what they found is that for kids who graduated high school between the age of 17 and 20, if they were white, real unemployment and underemployment was 33%. If they were Hispanic, real unemployment was 36%. If they were African American, real unemployment is 51%. Now, there is no excuse for the United States of America having more people in jail than any other country on earth, more than China. This is a failure of our criminal justice system, a failure of our educational system, and a failure of our economy. But I will tell you this. It makes more sense to me to be investing in jobs and education for our kids than in jails and incarceration. Want the United States to continue to have the ugly distinction of having more people in jail. I want the United States to have the proud distinction of having the best educated population on earth. Too many lives have been destroyed by the so-called war on drugs. Too many lives have been destroyed by incarceration. We need to educate. We need to put people to work. And when we talk about the economy, it is also important to put on the table that tens of millions of our people are working today at totally inadequate low wages. The current federal minimum wage of $7.25 an hour is a starvation wage and must be raised. Let me congratulate the people of Seattle, your city council, and all those who stood up and said that we need a living wage for workers, $15 an hour. You did it in Seattle. We are now going to do it for the entire country. The simple truth is, not a radical idea, is that no person who works 40 hours a week should be living in poverty. And when we talk about fair wages, I want every man in this room to stand with the women of this country, demand pay equity for women workers. You're going to stand with the women, right? All right. the, you know, many Republicans talk about family values. You've heard them talking about family values? You just heard them the other night in their debate. They just love families. Well, I've got four kids. I've got seven beautiful grandchildren. My wife and I have been married for 27 years. We believe in family. But our view of family values is just a little bit different. Now, when the Republicans talk about family values, let's be clear about what they're talking about. They believe that women in America should not have the right to control their own bodies. I disagree. They believe that women in America should not have the right to buy the contraceptives they need. I disagree. They believe that our gay brothers and sisters should not have the right to get married and enjoy all of the benefits of being Americans. I disagree. So let me tell you briefly my view of family values. And that is that the United States must end the international embarrassment of being the only major country on earth, the only one, which does not guarantee workers paid medical and family leave. Now, let me tell you about real family values. And that is that today in the state of Washington, in the state of Vermont, a woman is having a baby. It is an extraordinary day for that woman, for her family, and a pretty big day for the baby as well. But here's the point. Here is the point. If that woman, if that family has sufficient income, that mom and the dad will be able to stay home for weeks and months, getting to know and love their baby, getting to bond with their baby. Something, for those of you who have kids know, is the most extraordinary moments of our lives. But if that mom does not have sufficient income, she will be forced to go back to work in 3 days, 5 days, 8 days. She will be separated from that baby she just bore. Separating a mom from her baby because she does not have sufficient income to stay home is not a family value. It is the opposite of a family value. That is why I will fight for 12 weeks of paid family leave. And that is why the United States must also join the rest of the industrialized world in understanding a few points. And that is that in our country today, you may know this, you may not know this, but because of the collapse of our middle class, the people of America work longer hours than do the people of any other country. And yet, despite the fact that 85% of men are working more than 40 hours, 65% of women are working more than 40 hours, there are jobs that are being offered today that provide zero, none paid vacation time. And that is why I will fight for 10 days paid vacation time for every worker in America. And furthermore, we should not be the only major country on earth not guaranteeing sick time for our working people. When we talk about the economy and when pollsters go out and they call you up and they say, what is uppermost on your mind? What do you feel most strongly about? Invariably, what the American people say is a four-letter word, J-O-B-S. People understand how fragile the economy is. They understand that if you're 55, you can be replaced tomorrow by somebody half your age at half the wages. They understand that if you're young, how hard it is to get a job, especially a job equivalent to your education. So the truth is, the federal government needs to develop a massive federal jobs program to put our people back to work. All over this country, our infrastructure, our roads, bridges, rail, airports, wastewater plants, water plants, levees, and dams are crumbling. We used to have the best infrastructure in the world. Now we are far below many other countries. Let us invest, and I've put forward legislation, $1 trillion over 5 years, rebuild our infrastructure, create up to 13 million good-paying jobs. Think of an America where people are building and repairing our rail system, our airports, our levees, our dams, improving our bridges, improving our roads. We can make America safer, more efficient, more productive. Let's do it. And when we talk about jobs, it's not only the need to create millions of decent paying jobs, it is the need to stop the loss of jobs because of our disastrous trade policies. You are looking at a senator and a former congressman who voted against NAFTA, against CAFTA, against permanent and normal trade relations with China. And you're looking at a senator who will do everything he can to defeat this disastrous TPP. We need an approach to trade which works for working families, not just the CEOs of large corporations. And when we use such words as greed, recklessness, illegal behavior, arrogance, these are just some of the words to describe Wall Street. We bailed out Wall Street because they destroyed the American economy and because they were, quote unquote, too big to fail. Today, most of the major banks are bigger now than they were when we bailed them out because they were too big to fail. So my view is pretty simple. If a bank is too big to fail, it's too big to exist, we got to break them up. financial system that is part of the economy that makes affordable loans to small and medium-sized businesses, that helps us create jobs, helps people buy homes, not charge us outrageous interest rates on our credit cards, not be an island unto itself whose only goal is to make outlandish profits. Let's break them up. My friends, let me be as blunt and straightforward in telling, if I haven't been already, in telling you what I think most of you already know. And that is, as a result of the disastrous Supreme Court decision in the Citizens United case, the American political system has been totally corrupted. Corrupted. And make no mistake about it, the foundations of American democracy are being undermined. What the Supreme Court said to the wealthiest people in this country, said, all right, guys, you already own much of the economy. Now we're going to let you buy the United States government. And that is exactly what they are trying to do. We have a situation where one family, the extreme right-wing Koch family, a family that believes in ending Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, the Environmental Protection Agency, the U.S. Postal Service, that's their agenda. That one family, will spend almost $1 billion on this campaign to elect candidates who represent the rich and the powerful. When one family can spend and is spending more money than either the Democratic Party or the Republican Party, brothers and sisters, that is not called democracy. That is called oligarchy. And that is why we have got to overturn Citizens United. I have not made many promises during this campaign, but let me repeat one promise that I have made. And that is, any nominee of mine to the U.S. Supreme Court will, in fact, have to pass a litmus test. And that litmus test is that he or she will vote as soon as possible to overturn Citizens United. Former chairman of the Senate Veterans Committee, and I've talked to countless veterans who have put their lives on the line to defend this country and to defend democracy. And we cannot allow the billionaire class to destroy American democracy. We've got to stand up and make it crystal clear that not only will we overturn Citizens United, we're going to move toward public funding of elections. I believe in my heart of hearts, I am a huge believer in democracy. I love democracy. I love the idea that everybody can participate in the political process. I love the idea that we can and should have serious debates and respect people's differences of opinion. I love the idea that anybody can run for office. But unless we move to public funding of elections, young people will continue to have to beg campaign funds from the rich and the powerful. That I want to see end. I want to see people here tonight and others, regardless of their political views, conservatives, moderates, progressives, I want to see people say, you know what? I have a set of ideas. This is what I believe for my state, for my country. I'm going to run for office based on my ideas, not based on the amount of money I collect from billionaires. The other day, a few days ago, in D.C., I was at a meeting, at a function, at an event with Martin Luther King III and the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, a major civil rights group. And they were there to honor and acknowledge the 50th anniversary of the Voting Rights Act in this country, a huge step forward. But they were also there, and I was also there, to say loudly and clearly that the Supreme Court's gutting Civil Rights Act 2 years ago is unacceptable. If you can believe it, and how sad this is, literally hours after the Supreme Court ruled, you had states going to work, trying to pass legislation, making it harder for people of color, poor people, and older people to vote. How disgraceful. Now, I'm a politician, and I run for office. Sometimes I win, and sometimes I lose. But it has never, ever occurred to me to figure out a way to keep people from voting because they disagreed with me. And let me say as clearly as I can, those people who are trying to keep their fellow Americans from voting, coming up with these phony voter fraud concerns, those people are political cowards who don't have the guts to defend their ideas. If you're in politics, tell people why you think they should vote for you. Don't try to prevent others from participating in the democracy. Today in America, all of you know, we are living in a highly competitive global economy. And if we are going to succeed, we need the best educated workforce in the world. It is absolutely absurd that today in America, in the year 2015, hundreds of thousands of bright, qualified young people cannot go to college simply because their families lack the income. And that is why I have introduced legislation that does a couple of fairly revolutionary things. Number one, it says that in the United States of America, every public college and university will be tuition free. And I'll tell you why this is such an important idea. It's not just obviously that it will make life easier financially for those who are going to college, but it does something much more. Right now in Burlington, Vermont, all across this country, there are kids who are in the fourth grade who are in the sixth grade. Their parents didn't go to college. Their friends' parents didn't go to college. They don't know anybody who went to college. And the idea of going to college is something outside of their worldview. But what we will say to those kids now is if you study hard, if you take school seriously, you will, in fact, be able to go to college regardless of the income of your family. And when we talk about higher education financing, we also have to talk about the absurdity of millions of young and not so young Americans saddled with oppressive student debt. Last year in Vermont, met with a group of people. Young woman whose crime in life was she wanted to go to medical school. She did. She wanted to practice primary care with low-income people. That's what she's doing. Exactly the kind of doctors we need. She left school $300,000 in debt. Talk to a young woman in Iowa. She went to... We have a dental crisis in America. We need more dentists. She left dental school $400,000 in debt. And millions of others leaving college $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 in debt. Now, what sense is it that people today with student debt are paying 6, 8, 10% interest rates on that debt when you can refinance your home for 2 or 3%? Legislation that I've offered will allow people to significantly lower their interest rates on student debt by refinancing. And furthermore, we're going to get the government out of profiteering on student debt. It makes no sense that you have people working today paying 20 or 25% of their income, paying it back on their student loans. They can't get a home. They can't get married. That's wrong, and we're going to change that. When we talk about our responsibilities as human beings, and his parents, there is nothing more important than leaving this planet healthy and habitable for our kids and our grandchildren. The debate is over. Now, it's not over on Fox TV. They forgot to talk about it the other day. Scientific community tells us that climate change is the great global crisis we face. Scientific community tells us climate change is real. It's caused by human activity. It is already causing devastating problems in our country and throughout the world. And what the scientists tell us is that we have a reasonably short window of opportunity to prevent horrendous things from happening to this planet. What they say, and I'm on the Environmental Committee and the Energy Committee, what the scientists tell us, if we don't get our act together, this planet Earth will become 5 to 10 degrees warmer by the end of the century. More droughts, more flood, more extreme weather disturbances, more rising sea levels, more acidification of the ocean. And what the CIA tells us, climate change will result in more international conflict as people fight for scarce water and land resources. We have a moral responsibility to lead the world, to work with China and Russia and India, to lead the world in transforming our energy system away from fossil fuel. And into energy efficiency and sustainable energies like wind, solar, geothermal, and others. Now, the truth is, you know, as perhaps the most progressive member of the Senate, I have strong disagreements with my Republican colleagues on a whole host of issues. That goes without saying. But on this issue, what we are seeing is not a disagreement. We are seeing an international embarrassment when you have a major political party denying the reality of what science is telling us. And I say to my Republican colleagues, I understand that your party is heavily funded by the Koch brothers and their fossil fuel machine. I understand you're funded by ExxonMobil and the coal companies. And I understand that if you listen to science, they may cut your funding. But I say this to my Republican colleagues. Have the courage and the decency to listen to your kids, grandchildren, and your campaign members. States. We should all be embarrassed. Every really major country does not guarantee all our people health care and a right.
Yeah, this is breaking up pretty bad. All right, you're live. You're breaking up pretty bad.
Oh, okay. How long was that happening?
For the past few minutes.
Okay, I'll back up a little bit. Okay, thank you. Sorry. Yeah,
that's all right.
Okay, are we back on the air?
You're back on the air.
Okay, everybody. I'm so sorry. I hope this doesn't do that again. Let's see here.
People in the United States. We should all be embarrassed that we remain the only major country on earth that does not guarantee all of our people health care as a right. in Burlington, Vermont, 100 miles away from Canada. They've got a national healthcare system. Germany has a healthcare system. The UK has a national healthcare system. Scandinavia has a national healthcare system. And the United States of America must have a single-payer Medicare for all single-payer system. When we talk about our priorities as a nation, let me just tell you a little bit about where my Republican colleagues are coming from. I am the ranking member, the leader of the opposition on the Democratic side on the important budget committee. Several months ago, the Republicans control the House and the Senate. They passed their budget. Media didn't report about it very much. But I want to tell you what was in that budget. What the Republicans did was throw in their budget, recommended to the appropriations committees, that they end the Affordable Care Act, cut Medicaid by over $400 billion, which meant, and no one denies this, 27 million Americans would be thrown off of health insurance. And when you ask them, as I did, tell me, when you throw 27 million people off of health insurance, how many of them will die? How many of them will end up much sicker than they otherwise would have been? And you know what their answer is? No answer at all. They don't care. And in their budget, over a 10-year period, when millions of families are struggling to figure out how they're going to send their kids to college, they cut the Pell Grant program by $90 billion. And when millions of families are struggling to put food on the table, when half of the kids in public schools in America get free lunch or reduced lunch because their families lack the money, Republicans made massive cuts in nutrition programs, including the WIC program, which provides nutrition to low-income pregnant women. And then, to give you an idea of their priorities, to add insult to injury, they proceeded to provide over $250 billion in tax breaks to the richest 0.2%. That is not a set of priorities that is moral or a set of priorities that the American people want. Brothers and sisters, what this campaign is about is to bring people together who have a very different set of priorities than Republican priorities. And to do that, we are going to have to build a strong grassroots movement and reach out to people who don't necessarily agree with us on every issue. My guess is that here in Washington, most working class Republicans do not believe that we should be giving huge tax breaks for billionaires and cutting Social Security and Medicare. Our job is to reach out to those Republicans. Our job is to reach out to young people who don't understand the significance of politics for their lives. Our job is to bring people together. We have got to end the divisions in this country. between Gates between black and white, and we have got to also understand that when we bring people together, we cannot forget that there are 11 million people in this country who are living in the shadows. We've got to bring them out of the shadows. We must be about bringing families together, not dividing them. We need comprehensive immigration reform and a path toward citizenship. Yesterday, I had a conversation with the president about the situation in Iran. We chatted for a while. And what I get very nervous about is that apparently many of my Republican colleagues and Republican candidates for president have forgotten the lessons of the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq. They forgot the real cost of war. Not just 6,700 brave Americans who died in Afghanistan and Iraq, but 500,000 who came home with PTSD and traumatic brain injury. And if this country means anything, we must make certain that every veteran gets the health care and all the benefits that they're entitled to. And in terms of Iran, this is what I believe. I believe that a great nation must do everything that it can to resolve international conflict, even with people we have strong disagreements with, rather than going to war. I voted against the war in Iraq because I had a sense of the kind of destabilization it would bring about. I want to give peace every chance, every opportunity. So I am going to work with the president on his agreement in making certain that Iran does not get a nuclear weapon, but we can do that without going to war. Let me conclude by just saying this. I hope very much that the thousands of people here tonight are prepared to think big, not small. I hope you are prepared to imagine the kind of country we can create when government works for all of us and not just a few. We can live in a country where health care is a right for all people. We can live in a country in which we have the best child care and pre-K system in the world. We can live in a country where everybody who has the ability and desire to get a higher education, regardless of their income. We can live in a country where our seniors can retire with dignity and not have to choose between food and medicine. We've got to... And that is why we have to expand Social Security, not cut it. We can live in a country where everybody, regardless of their race, their religion, their disability, or their sexual orientation, realizes the full promise of equality that is our birthright as Americans. Brothers and sisters, this is not utopian dreaming. This is the country we can create if we are prepared to stand together, if we are prepared to take on the billionaire class, if we are prepared to create a vibrant, powerful political movement. Thank you all very much.
Okay, everybody. We squeaked in there a few minutes over time. I just say real quick, there's this picture of a baby unicorn. And believe it, he's 10 days old. And he's running. And this is what it says. The speed of this 10-day-old unicorn I would judge as comparable to that of a racehorse. As one is fortunate enough to see a baby unicorn, it will not be while he is galloping full out, a speed that reduces him to a mere blur of white among the green leaves of the forest. Okay, unicorns we are. Unity consciousness now. Peace now. See you tomorrow, everyone, and in your dreams. Sat Nam. Namaste, everyone. Aloha.
Sat Nam Ti.
Music maestro. Okay.